Don't get lost in the waves of change.
190 pages, tens of hours of lawyers. One takeaway today is you now put on your listing agent hat when you meet with a buyer and you treat him the same way. So that's what you need to take away.
KGCI Real Estate on Air, keeping you informed and empowered as the NAR settlement brings seismic shifts to the real estate industry.
It's a consultation and a strategy. When you think of how people need to buy a home in this market, it takes great strategy. So why not strategize with that buyer? They need your help more than ever.
Depend on KGCI Real Estate on Air.
Welcome back. It's Allie Garcet, or Allie the Agent, on all social media. And this is the series where I read a book, I digest it, I analyze it as a real estate agent, and I regurgitate it out to you so it could be as if you read the book for yourself and you can implement the takeaways that I took into your business. This time, I read the book 10X is Easier Than 2X, and it's a book written by Dan Sullivan and Dr. Benjamin Hardy. Now, I do have to say, I did not read it. I listened to it on Audible, and I have a lot of takeaways from this book, which, of course, I always save the best for last. In case you are new to my channel, I am a real estate agent. I am licensed in Arizona. I will be licensed also in multiple states in the future, but for now, I'm with eXp. I'm in Arizona. We have a crew of 51 agents. We're growing at about 5 to 6 agents every single month in multiple different states and multiple countries. We're actually now in 3 countries where we give you the blueprint to success. The buyer checklist, the seller checklist, the investor checklist, the referral checklist, literally everything. We show you how to get leads yourself so that way you are never dependent on anyone. And so you are a self-sustaining business owner that can take that same blueprint or SOP, give it to your agents and step out of the business at some point and retire. All of our goals, we're all here to retire early. That's our mission. So let's get started with this book. Right off the bat, I do have to say, I came into it thinking that it was going to be a lot more of a how-to instead of a why. So I feel like the first half of the book that I was listening to was more of why is 10x easier than 2x, which from the title, that makes sense. Now, I kind of listened to this book and I was like, okay, great. I'm going to know exactly, you know, the step-by-step on how to take action on how supposedly 10x is easier to do than 2x. But it seems like the first half of the book is really just why. So let's get into the why just a little bit. They say that when you are looking to 10X your business instead of what everyone else is doing, which is just trying to double their business, when you start thinking about how can I 10X this thing, at that point, you're looking to become smarter than your competition. You're no longer looking to just do more grunt work and grind your way to 2X. You can grind your way to 2X, but you cannot grind your way to 10X. When you're thinking of how do I 10X this, it's no longer a matter of how many more hours do I need to work, it's how much more smarter do I need to be working. So therefore, thinking about how to 10X is a fundamental mind shift. They make the comparison of a lot of people in a W-2 where they're working their butt off for maybe like 2X or like a 10% increase in their pay, which is really just a 2X mindset. It's really not at all too different going to 2X, where your mindset is pretty much the same. You're just working longer hours. You might be working harder. And that 2X is linear. Or should I do this way? I forget which way you guys are going to be watching this. And therefore, by definition, because of 2X being linear, it's harder. It's more exhausting. There's only so many hours you have in a day. But with 10X, that is an entire identity change. Which, side note, if you listen to this book, you'll realize that they don't say linear, they say linear. And it like bugged me the whole time. But anyway, they're like, 2X is linear. Oh man, I was like, okay, is it not linear how I've heard it my entire life? Maybe I'm wrong, whatever. But overall, 2X is brute force. It's not creative thinking. Thinking 2X will not get you to 10X outcome. They talk about 4 different types of freedoms. The first is freedom of time. The second is freedom of money. The third is freedom of relationships. And the fourth is freedom of purpose, or your why. And it goes in order. But at the same time, it's also connected. So with freedom of time, in order to buy back your time, you need to have good relationships in order to help you get there. Through relationships is how you can make those 10X jumps. And this is exactly why I joined the 5 Pillars community in eXp Realty. They were originally with Keller Williams. They all switched over, just like a lot of other big teams, groups, brokerages are switching over to eXp. I found this crew because they had the checklist. They had the mindset that I had. They wanted more for themselves and they don't want to work forever. They're all on the mission to retire early. And a lot of them are investors first. So this is exactly why I joined like a small group of what they were at the time. They were small all the way out in North Carolina when I was in Arizona. And I was like, you have the checklist. You're not going to be charging me for it. Yes, you're not giving me leads, but I don't need to be fed leads. I would rather you teach me how to find my own leads so I'm never dependent on anybody. Through that relationship, I was able to do 20 transactions my first year as an agent, as a part-time real estate agent, because I was still active duty. And then my first year as a full-time real estate agent, I did 44, and I haven't finished my third year yet, but I'm only going to be increasing to step out of the business and teach others how to do the same. That is my mission. Dan Sullivan and Benjamin Hardy talked about how expanding your freedom is the ultimate goal for a lot of entrepreneurs, and that there is no limit to how much freedom you can expand. They talk about how it's important to have a clear vision for the future, but you cannot have a clear vision for the future unless you have analyzed your past. And this is a very common trend. As you can tell, if you watch my video on Choose Your Enemies Wisely, they talk a lot about that in that video as well. That was by Patrick Beck David. So in this case, they spoke about the same thing. So in your shoes, think about your life up until right now and think about 5 pivotal moments that took you to where you are now. What were those 5 growth stages that took you to where you're at? Then think about the next 5 growth stages that you'll take in order to take yourself from here to 10x. What kind of relationships do you need to make? With who? If you're making an income of, you know, whatever it is, and you 10x it, how can you get there? What kind of a person would you be by making that amount of money? What kind of relationships would you have? Who would you surround yourself with? What would your day look like? And it really starts with buying back your time, because you cannot have any other freedom until you have the freedom of time. Freedom of time always comes first. This is so relatable to real estate agents, because the first thing that I tell everyone is hire a transaction coordinator. Do not ever do your own paperwork by yourself. Now, that is very different from knowing the contracts. Should you know every single form you are having your client sign? 1,000%. But do you need to be the one on SkySlope, on DigiLoop and DocuSign and whatever, filling out and like literally dragging the initials, dragging the date box, making sure the seller signature is here, the wife's signature is here, the husband, like, no, there is so much higher and better uses of your time. That is what a transaction coordinator does. They only do paperwork. That's the highest and best use of their time. The highest and best use of your time is to talk to people, make appointments, go on appointments. Everything else is slowing you down. Just like you wouldn't get your photography and your drone license to take photos of your listings, you should not be doing the paperwork. The pilot does not serve the drinks. Then, of course, typically after the transaction coordinator, that's where you're going to get either an operational assistant or maybe a personal assistant. Maybe it's a cleaner. Maybe it's a chef. Maybe it's something similar to what I signed up for, is like a home meal cooking thing where, I mean, it's not like somebody comes over and like drops meals off, but I order healthy, already pre-made food, and I order it like once a week and bulk up. And that's how my wife and I eat. We eat healthy food, a lot of protein. We don't cook because it takes a lot of time, nor do we even like it. So always be thinking about how can I get my time back? So that's what I started out with. I had a TC immediately. I did one transaction. I was like, never again. I spent 3 hours, 4 hours on the paperwork, and it was on the listing side. That was my first transaction. I was like, this is a waste of my time. 3 hours on paperwork? Not for me. I could have acquired 3 more clients during that time. No. So TC, that was immediately, that was a freaking no-brainer. Then I got a VA for social media. I have a VA for my business. I have a cleaner. I don't cook. I use that company here in town. Next up is going to be someone more, even more operational, to be able to look at all of the transactions that I have going on. You know, who's about to list, who's already listed, who's under contract, and just manage all of it. 91% of my business is outbound referrals. Now I just need somebody to maintain contact and make sure that everybody is tracking, because I have a lot. But overall, the freedom of time, the freedom of money, the freedom of relationships, and the freedom of purpose will help you achieve all of your goals. Once you have achieved all those, your purpose of life just goes through the roof. They also say that according to the 80-20 principle, that you can work just 2 days out of the entire week on the top 20% activities, and you will achieve 60% more than what you are doing right now. Imagine working 2 days out of the week. Just pick a random 2 days, Monday and Wednesdays, or Mondays and Tuesdays. That's it. You have every other day off, and you're achieving 60% more than where you are now. What? So back to you. Analyze, what are your top 20% activities? And let me give you another hint. It's not paperwork. It's not driving around town opening doors. What more activities can you do to set appointments and go on appointments? Those are the money-making activities. And by going on appointments for buyers, I don't mean you being the one to go open the door. I'm talking about going to a listing appointment, having a come list me call, and then you going there. Or you staying at home and doing Zoom calls with clients and then having your team go out there and take it from listing appointment to close. So let's talk about that first portion, the setting appointments. By the way, this portion is my own analyzation because this book is not about real estate. I'm listening to it. I'm thinking about it from, you know, my real estate agent hat. And I'm analyzing and I'm trying to help you as best as I can. So thinking about setting appointments, that first of the two, how can you hire out some of the stuff to set appointments out to somebody else, buy back your time? Maybe you can hire a virtual assistant to make cold calls for you. Maybe you can hire a virtual assistant to text for you. Although of course, always ask your broker, make sure that you're not calling anybody that you shouldn't be calling. You will find yourself in a lawsuit, I'm sure, at some point. So just do the right thing. If you're on YouTube, maybe you should stop editing your own videos because guess what? You're not an editor, you are a real estate agent. So maybe it's time that you take all of those hours of effort of editing video, uploading, doing the tags, titles, description, thumbnails, and instead use a YouTube company to help you. Maybe you can go on onlinejobs.ph. Maybe you can message me and see what I do on my business. I'm more than happy to share with you. But maybe it's time to let go of that editing portion. Not maybe, it's time. Because the highest and best use of your time as a real estate agent is not editing, it's not driving, it's showcasing your personality, your competence, your knowledge to a client. If you focus more on listings, maybe it's time that you hire a listing coordinator, a licensed agent that maybe doesn't have as much on their plate as they want, and you can pay them to go out to the property. So someone books a call on your Calendly, you meet with them over Zoom, you tell them how the process goes, what it's like working with you, you tell them that you're gonna have your listing coordinator go out to their house, so that way they can take as many photos and videos as possible. They'll upload it to you. You'll review it. You'll be able to get comps. It's as if you're in the property because you sent a trusted listing coordinator to their house. So you could save time on driving. So you could save time on being there. And you can use that time to acquire even more clients. Because why are people hiring you? They're hiring you for your marketing skills and for your negotiation skills. They have an exercise for you to do. Ask yourself, what is your current goal right now? So think about this for a second, and then I'll put just an example goal. If you need to pause the video, go ahead and do so. Write it down. Do whatever you want to do. Got it? Okay, good. Let's say last year you made 200K GCI. Your original goal was to 2X that and make 400K. Do you believe that is achievable? If you do, they say that your goal is not big enough. Instead, 10X that. Take that 200K GCI and your new goal should be 2 million GCI. Do you believe that is achievable? No? Good, then keep it as a goal. That's what they say. Don't kill the messenger. But if that goal is still too small, if the 2 million, if you still think, I think I could probably achieve that, then increase it even more. So once you have your 10X goal, ask yourself these questions. One, what conditions need to be true in order to make 2 million GCI in the next 12 months? Two, what conditions need to be present in order to make this near impossible goal possible? That is what you should be focusing on if you want the highest return on time and the highest return on energy. Everything else of what you're doing is noise. Answering the calls of, hey, do you have a quick second? Or answering the text messages at midnight of your clients being like, oh my gosh, I love this property. Can we see it tomorrow at 9 a.m.? You know, doing all of the, hey, do you got a second stuff? That is noise. Video editing, noise. Paperwork, noise. But let's think about that goal. Remember, so the goal was 2 million, whatever your 10X goal is. Let's go back to what it would have been at 2X. So in this scenario, it would have been 200K to 400K. How would you have gotten from 200 to 400K? It would have been making more calls. It would have been working longer hours. It would have been doing more open houses. It would have been maybe hiring one other assistant to make the cold calls for you. It would have been doing a couple more videos on Instagram. And what is all of that? All of that is more energy. More energy equals faster exhaustion. And that is why they say 10X is easier than 2X. As you think about your goal, what your original goal was, and your 10X goal, you'll be thinking about what will get you there, what's going to work, what isn't going to work. So that path to 10X is going to very clearly illuminate what options are actually viable. And it's also going to let you know what will not get you there. There's only so many hours every single week that I can do open houses. If you have to stand at an open house in order to get 2 million GCI just by doing open houses, you would be there forever. You might as well pack your towel and your shampoo because you'll be sleeping at open houses and showering there. Dan Sullivan and Dr. Benjamin Hardy say that almost nothing works for 10x growth. Therefore, because you're crossing so much stuff off the list, there's only a few remaining options. My bad. Sorry, I just sneezed. So then, therefore, because there are fewer options to get to 10x, that means you cannot be focused on 101 different activities. You have to be focused on just the few. Again, that goes back to the 80-20 rule. The top 20% of your activities is going to lead to 80% output, or 80% income in this case. And then therefore, what does that intrinsically say? That means that only 20% of your marketing efforts is leading to 80% of your commission checks. So you should be tracking where exactly you're getting each of these clients from. Where are you getting the buyer clients from? Where are the sellers finding you from? What kind of lead generating activities is the most common? And 10x those activities. So that would be my analyzation. This is not from the book. My analyzation is go back in your last 12 months or 6 months, but 12 months I think is better. Of course, your entire history is best, but go back to your 12 months, write down all the client names, maybe not write down, but type, you know, all the client names. How did they find you? Was it an open house? Was it some sort of advertisement? Write down which ones the most common ones were and 10x those activities. Everything else is a waste of time. Put a lot of stuff on the chopping block, which then leads us to the question of, how do we decipher this? What is the 20% that matters the most? They say that there are two questions to ask yourself and that majority of the people stop after the first question. So question number one, in order to clarify what matters versus what doesn't, you need to specify your goal, because without knowing your goal, it's impossible to move forward and it's impossible to find an effective path to move forward. So that's where a lot of people stop. But the second part of that equation, the second question to ask yourself is, to make sure that that goal is a lot bigger than a goal of what you're used to. Making a slightly bigger goal, which is a 2x goal, is not going to be helpful for you, because that's not going to help you eliminate all of the distractions that you're currently facing. Having a 2x goal is just going to tell you to double the amount of open houses that you did, double the amount of videos that you did. It's going to tell you to double everything. And again, your time is limited. But when you're going for 10x growth, you are getting rid of 80% of just the trash activities that are not doing it for you. It's going to be a big life change. At this point of the book, they started going deeper into the how. Finally, they say, number one, everyone has a unique ability. You, my friend, have a unique ability, and that there is nothing more important than to develop a mastery level of whatever your unique ability is. There we go. That's better English. Put it another way, you might be good at some things, you might be even excellent at some things, but those things might not be your unique ability. They say everyone has one, and that you should be dedicating your life to seeing what it is, because if you don't do it, no one else can, because no one else is you. The second thing they point out is in the how, is that a lot of people that have a sense of calling, that they tend to ignore their mentors and their coaches. And those people that have a true, strong sense of calling, they trust their inner voice more than they do external voices, even if those people have achieved great success. So instead of playing it safe and following the advice of these others, these mentors, these coaches, they trust their own intuition, their calling. So if you have a strong sense of calling, trust it. You can only take other people's advice so far, because again, they're not you. Number three, how do you even find what your unique ability is? I'm sure that's the question that you're asking right now. One, you become increasingly honest with yourself, and you become honest with others about what you want to do with your life. You do not compromise, and you do not bend to follow what others want for you. Two, you think exponentially bigger about what you can accomplish and what you can become. Truly think about what makes you different, what makes you unique. Three, clarify with yourself what mission you're going to be fulfilling. Four, Think about the unique standards that your future self has normalized, even if they seem unrealistic right now. Determine what your 20% is and let go of that 80%. And continuing into how you can find out what your unique ability is that you have to think about it this way. If you do not feel like you are radically exposing yourself, it's not your unique ability. If it's not transforming you rapidly, it's not your unique ability. If it doesn't feel fun, like play, and if you're not feeling creative, it's not your unique ability. So in the real estate world, think about only what you can provide to your clients, how your marketing is different, and maybe it's your personality, something in the industry that only you can do. That is your unique ability. It's when you feel completely free to be creative. They define expertise as the ability to do something very well, and mastery, the ability to do something uniquely well. I found in this book, they tend to take a lot of different sources from different books. And what do you know? They talk a lot about who, not how. They talk a lot about the gap and the gain, because those are the same authors. So this next section is where they talked about focusing on the gain and not the gap. Focusing on the gain, or how looking back and realize how far you've come, helps you perform better because you realize how far you've come. But if you focus on the gap, oh my gosh, I'm not there yet. I haven't made that 2 million yet. I'm still 2 years from retiring. Whatever gap you're focusing on, you're always comparing yourself. You know how social media is like super evil to some people? Because it's all about comparison. But the same evil can be done with comparison yourself now to where you want to be. So don't focus on the gap, even if it's within yourself. That at times will feel like chasing the horizon, because human psychology is like people are never truly fulfilled. So when you get there, when you get that 2 million, you're not going to just stop there. Chances are you're going to be like, oh, okay, cool. I made it. But what's next? What's next? And therefore that's chasing the horizon and never feeling gratitude as to how far you've come. So here are 8 questions to help you focus on the gain instead of the gap. Number 1. How have you grown as a person over the last 3 years? And don't just listen to me talk about this, like actually write it down. If you want to pause on my video, go ahead and do so, even though it might mess up my algorithms. Do it. I'm doing this to help you. Number 2. Wait, did you pause yet? Okay, good. Number 2. What are the biggest things you've learned in the last 12 months? Number 3. What are the most important things you've accomplished in the last 12 months? Number 4, what meaningful experiences have you had in the last 90 days? Number 5, how are you more clear on your goals than you were 90 days ago? Number 6, how is your life different and better than it was just last month over the last 30 days? Number 7, what important progress have you made in the last 7 days? And lastly, number 8, what important progress have you made in the last 24 hours? How have you moved the needle forward? Did you make that extra cold call? Did you hire somebody? What did I do in the last 12 hours? Really take some time to think and reflect. What did I do to move the needle, to move myself forward, my business forward, my family forward in the last day? Did I dwell on something that I shouldn't have dwelled on? What consumed my mind? Did I push myself forward? When answering those 8 questions, you might realize that you've been spending time on things that should not be taking up your time. You might realize that you have some vices. They say that you might realize that you're drinking alcohol too much and that you need to let go of alcohol. And this part also has a lot of similarities to the video that I did of Choose Your Enemies Wisely with Patrick Bet David, where he gave up something extreme until he made his first million. Because again, the more you can just clean out your mind and get rid of activities, get rid of the mental real estate space, the more you can clear that out, the more focus you have in that big noggin of yours. I mean, even if you have a small head, I got a big head, but the more space then you have to focus on the 20% activities. And I'm not kidding about the size of my head. I started out in the Air Force. I was in the Air Force for a decade. I separated as a major after 10 years of being an Air Force special agent, where I worked for the Office of Special Investigations. But when I first got started, which I don't tell a lot of people, now you're gonna know, is I actually got picked up to be a pilot for the Air Force. And I ended up failing. That's a whole different story and taught me a lot of lessons, but which is ironic because I was a civilian pilot, but I failed with the Air Force. Anyway, as we're getting suited up and getting like our equipment ready, we have to have a helmet and, you know, get hooked up to the hose and like all of that stuff. And they're like, okay, what size head are you? And I was like, probably the largest you have, extra large. And they go, no, that's funny. You're probably a medium. They try putting a medium helmet on because we're flying the T6. So they're trying to put this helmet on me and they're like, wow, okay, you weren't kidding. Let's go for a large. And I was like, do you have an extra large? Let's just skip that large. I know I got a big head. Anyway, fast forward, the extra large helmet didn't work. They started laughing at me. They're like, we've never seen somebody with such a big head. It was so embarrassing. So I had to have a custom helmet fit for me to fly the T6. Anyway, back to the story. Use your headspace for the top 20% activities. Then they also suggest doing another exercise. Think about when you were making 1/10 of the amount of money that you're making now. And again, that's reflecting on your past. That's looking at the whole gain that you've made. Could you ever have imagined that you were going to be making the amount of money that you're making now? Maybe, maybe not. That feeling is probably the same feeling of where you are now, thinking about how much you're going to make when you make 10x. It's that same fear, like, wow, I don't think I could ever get there. Same thing for me. I was stuck at making $120,000 as an Air Force major in the Air Force. And I was like, this is how much I'm worth, I guess. You know, like, nothing more, nothing less, 120. And after taking enough shit, I was like, you know what? I want to work for myself. And my first year, I made way more than that. And I have significantly increased my business every year. You've done it once already, you can do it again. But the point is that these authors are saying that you have already made 10x jumps. So just think about how far you've come with these 10x jumps, because it's not any different than that. As I've made this video, I've talked to you about the 10x jumps that I've had in my life, in my business. So think about yours. Again, I try to analyze this as much as I can and think about it from my perspective to help you implement this into your business. So that way you can succeed today and start your 10x journey today. Another portion of my 10x growth in real estate, the fact that I joined Five Pillars because of their checklist. So this is twofold. It was 10x for me because I didn't have a blueprint. I didn't know what the next step would have been. I interviewed 13 different brokerages and I found one across the country. And I was like, you're going to be able to help provide me the most support without even being here at no cost. And it was also a 10x jump for them because with those blueprint, the entire blueprint every single real estate agent needs to be successful, they give away for free as long as you partner with us. An agent should never feel lost as to not knowing what the next step is for the buyer, for the seller, for the investor client. You should always know exactly the whole thing, the from start to finish. Even before you start, we teach you how to find your own clients, how to find listings. So that was a 10x jump for them because they were able to recruit a lot more. And by joining me, if you want to book a call about what we are about, book a call using the link below, your business will skyrocket. But some other things that might help you 10x your business is maybe you fly a lot. Maybe you go to a lot of conferences. Maybe you go to a lot of meetups, just getting some sort of assistant. Maybe it's someone hiring someone to help you with your airfare. Book your hotels, book your airfare. Put it on your calendar. Maybe it's someone to help you filter through your email. That's my next step. I'm having my assistant starting to look through my email now because, as you know, there is so much spam and it doesn't have to be a person. You could also use AI to do this. We use AI for my email and this has saved me so many hours every single day in my email. I use Superhuman. These are all keyboard shortcuts. I mean, you can be a superhuman using your email. I have an affiliate and the link is going to be below because they are so good. It's $30 a month. That's going to change your life. And for broker owners, stop being the one that trains your agents. You don't need to be the HR, the compliance, the trainer, the babysitter. Hire that out. Leverage. That's why a lot of brokers, like I mentioned before, are coming over to eXp because they can just leverage that out. Someone else can do the training. Someone else can do the compliance. Someone else could do the checks and the finance. So that way you can just focus on the culture. And continuing as the broker owner, what would your brokerage need to look like? What would the value that you have in case you don't want to partner with eXp? What would the value you provide to agents need to look like in order for you to become 10x more profitable? I don't want to leave this on a bad note, so I'm going to say something after this. But Dr. Benjamin Hardy said that a lot of the teenagers that commit suicide, hopefully I don't get canceled on this channel, but a lot of the teenagers that really struggle and take their lives in middle school, in high school, are not the ones that are carefree. They're the ones that have so much drive and put so much effort into everything that they do that they realize that that's what their whole life is going to be. Like if they're struggling that much in high school, that's when they end up realizing that they don't want to live. And that's because they focus on the gap. Is this what the rest of my life is going to be like? Instead of looking at the gain of how far they've come. So reward yourself every single time you take a step forward. Reward yourself when you hire a TC. Reward yourself when you hire an admin. Reward yourself when you hire a cleaner. Because even though that cleaner or that one other person might not be 10x in and of itself, it's a step in the right direction to get you to 10x growth. So take a day off. Go to your child's recital. Schedule a massage once a week. Do a staycation with your spouse at a resort. But every single day, check in with yourself. Ask yourself three things that made you happy. And ask your spouse this, ask your kids this, and get everyone around you thinking about what went well today. Focus on the gain. They also talked about setting up your calendar and your business, your life, to have three different types of days. The first type of day is a performance day. That could be like going on a listing, talking to a buyer, making a YouTube video to get more clients, whatever it is. They also have recovery days, taking time off because recovery is needed, and buffer days. So buffer days being like working on the business. How are the finances doing? Have I gotten all my referral checks? You know, things that are more administrative. And they relate this to Olympians and other high like sports players and athletes, because athletes do the same thing. They have their performance days, which are the games. They have buffer days, which is conditioning, working on drills, the foundation. And they have recovery days, taking time off, because that is just as important. So as you build out your calendar, as you build out your life, think about what days do you want to take off first. That should be the first thing that you put into your calendar. That's what we're taught in Five Pillars. If you're starting this now and it's not the beginning of the year, then look at the next 6 months, look at the next 12 months and start taking days off. What days do you need to be with family? What days do you want to be with family? When do you want to go on vacation? And they suggest putting 150 of those free days, those off days, 150. Because what are you gonna do during those times? You're not gonna be working at all, which is kind of crazy. Instead, during those days, 150, like almost like half the year, do activities that rejuvenate you. Because after all, isn't that what life is about? So make a list of 3 to 5 activities that rejuvenate you. Mine are reading a fiction book. And again, I'm doing these like full vulnerability. So I would love to hear your thoughts as well. Whatever your 10X goal is, whatever the list of activities that rejuvenate you, especially those, drop it in the comments because I do want to hear it. I couldn't make a list of 5. I only had a couple. So mine was reading a fiction book, laying on a hammock, preferably on a beach, sipping a virgin pina colada because I like those better, getting a massage, and playing pickleball. 150 days probably sounds like a crap ton, especially if maybe you've only taken 30 days off the year for the last couple of years, especially if you came from a W-2. 30, 40 days is sometimes generous. But they find if you double the amount of free and off days that you have, you will double your income. They also suggested that during those buffer days, out of those buffer days, you should also have some focus days. And those focus days are the ones that are working on the business. So the buffer days, a little bit more admin activities. Where's this referral check at? Where's this next conference I'm gonna go to? How's my email doing? But then the focus days are, what's my next strategy? What's the next quarter going to look like? What are my marketing activities? So your focus days should be on your 20% activities, back to the 80-20. Your buffer days should be about 35 days a year. Just a check-in, meeting with your team, preparing notes, working on your systems, keeping everything together, 35 days a year. It's pretty much just fixing days, what needs to be fixed. They say the perfect formula is this: 2 performance days a week, 3 buffer days, and 3 free days. They said if you follow that system every single week, week after week, you will double, if not triple, your income. And that's because you'll be allowing your brain just to do a simple activity, because you're thinking about this all day long, probably. Every single day is probably a performance followed by a buffer, followed by, you know, an off. And instead of taking it 24 hours at a time, spread it out over weeks. Prevent your brain from thinking about going from the listing appointment to then buffer. Oh, my system, you know, for this doesn't work. My marketing should be this instead. My email is actually, you know, up to the max. I need to clear it out. So shut your brain off from doing all those three things and just focus on one day at a time. On your focus days, you should be focusing on just like 1 or 2 activities to fill your entire day. You shouldn't be jumping from task to task to task. Tim Ferriss suggests that whenever you do have time to focus, it should not be any block shorter than 4 hours for creativity. That anything less than that is just too short. And that over time, instead of doing 4 hours at a time, you'll realize you'll do 1 day at a time, 1 week at a time, sometimes even weeks at a time of just focusing. But of course, you have to realize that you cannot do this if you are a manager. Because if you're a manager, you're taking all these calls. All the, oh, I have a super quick question. Can I need your guidance on this. Is this how you fill the paperwork out? What happens if this happens? The seller just died. What do I do? You're staying so shallow instead of diving deep into your business. You need to be a visionary and you cannot be a manager. Visionaries create teams that manage themselves. They talk a lot about the importance of the last hours, couple of hours of your day, because that will fix your sleep. And so therefore, turn your phone off or put it on airplane mode within the last 30 minutes before going to bed, up to an hour before doing so. Write down three things that made today a win. Write down three things you will focus on tomorrow. Pray or meditate and then commit to sleep. I found that important. I've never committed myself to sleep. And maybe that's why I had insomnia when I was in the military. And then be excited to shut down. You have to give yourself permission. Allie, I'm excited. I'm excited to go to bed and turn my brain off. And here is a fun tip. I'm excited to start implementing this. Is when you wake up the next morning and you have done your three tasks, stop working. Stop working. You've accomplished what you told yourself you're going to do. Done. That is a huge reward for me because I will accomplish what I've done. I'll take the next day's notes of what I was going to do and I'll just try to cram everything in. And I work until I burn out every day. This is not sounding healthy, but that's what I do. So it was so interesting to get permission, wow, I've done my three things and three important things, not like just three diddly doo-dah things, like important things. If you've accomplished it, stop working. Go be with your family. Go do what rejuvenates you. Don't work longer than it's necessary. And being productive and being busy are opposites. Slightly going back to the buffer, focus, and free days, they talked about it as if it was, they made the analogy to Neapolitan ice cream when like those containers were out like, and it was divided, that if you try to do all that in one day, everything just becomes like the color brown instead of focusing an entire day for just each activity. So do that. They also listed out four different levels of entrepreneurship. So I'm curious to know which one you're in. Level one is where you run everything yourself. You are a one-person shop, typically a solopreneur or micromanager is what they said. Level two is when you have applied a who to every single portion of your business, therefore leading you to operate just in the 20% and that you trust the who's to manage the how's. I'm surprised that was already level two. I was like, maybe I'm level three. I was like, well, okay, I'm level one because I definitely don't have a who for every portion of my business. Level three is when you have replaced yourself with better fit leaders to do the tasks that you are doing to manage the managers. So that way you have completely freed yourself up to just thinking and focusing. They say at level three, you have a self-managing company. You no longer lead the day-to-day. The business runs itself. And level four is when everything around you self-multiplies. That all individuals that work in your business they have autonomy to handle that division. All of the leaders that you have in that business are all free to focus on the 20% activities. Essentially, all the leaders are in their level two. So therefore, they're hiring other people to replace those leaders. They said to get started on this and start being a leader and not a micromanager is to not respond to your emails anymore. Have someone else do the responding for you. That if you're responding to your own emails, you don't look like a professional. And if you are spending your days trying to energize your team and motivate your team, and how can I get my team to be more productive, that you have the wrong team. You have the wrong people on the bus and you need to get other people on the bus because there is a right person. You just need to find them. Easier said than done, right? Of course. But a lot of people say, yeah, but that person that would be good, I can't afford them. To which they say, you can't afford to not have them on your team because you need those who's to then be able to hire their own people to take care of the how. And this is what trips a lot of people up. They don't want to make the wrong hire. They don't want to waste money on somebody that doesn't deserve to be in the seat. But what's the worst that could happen? You pay for a couple of months of a salary on a trial period. That's what trial periods are for. And they also typically say that if you do end up choosing the wrong person, it's because you were not clear on the specific enough role of what they were supposed to be doing. You were not clear on the avatar of the type of person that you wanted to hire, that you should have hired. As long as you teach the right principles, they will govern themselves. Have clear vision, have clear standards and culture. The right who's will be attracted to you and they will not need to be babysat. And this is what I'm finding in my own business as well. I think it's like the energy that I give out where I don't take any shit. I'm not here to babysit. Like I am here to give you the freaking checklist so you can have success in your business. But if you don't know how to simply find an answer on your own, and I mean like an answer that's Googleable, and you rely on someone else to do the Googling for you, we're not the team for you. So if you are also a broker owner, you're looking to recruit, don't just put put who is a good fit, put who is not a good fit. I also made a video on who would not be a good fit in our brokerage. I made an entire video on that already. You can check it out over here. And something very important is that whoever you hire needs to be able to own the how. If you just tell them the result of what you want and they will do the in-between. Don't micromanage and say it needs to be done this way and this way and this way. Maybe they find a better way. Ask for the results, give them some left and right guidance, and let them finish. Hope this helped.
This is going to be the largest transfer of market share we've ever seen between agents in history.
KGCI Real Estate On Air, keeping you informed and empowered as the NAR settlement brings seismic shifts to the real estate industry.
You treat your buyers just like you do a seller. You get a consultation, you pitch, and you compete for the value you will deliver for the fee you're willing to accept.
Stay informed, stay prepared. Depend on KGCI Real Estate On Air.